Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 397. 397th episode here in the Caffeination Podcast. The first live episode of 2010, 2010's first live episode over at live.caffeination.com. So if you were watching, listening, or just interested in this after the fact, then you can head on over there and check out all the pre-recorded episodes that we have up over there. We're trying to restart the recording here. Hopefully we'll cut out some of the junk that's been floating around, and we'll get to the meat and the potatoes that much sooner. So it's been a rather interesting week so far. I still have the case of lingering laryngitis, so it's not quite doing what it should be doing. Should be healing up at this point, but it's just really not rocketed out the way it should be. So we're kind of trying to take, you know, long, slow breaths as opposed to quick ones, because every time I get a breath of the wrong kind of air, I just start coughing all over the place. So this is the 397th episode. We have a really cool anniversary coming up on this Saturday. This Saturday will be the fourth year I've been podcasting. It'll be the four-year anniversary of the start of the Caffeination Podcast. We started on 1-9-2006. So in honor of that, I'm going to be doing a fun little thing on that night as well, and we're going to be debuting a new show. The new show is actually going to be called The Cruftcast. It's going to be all video. It's going to be focused on low-cost solutions to actually solving either technological or other problems. So if you've noticed the way that I do things around the Caffeination Podcast at any given point in time, you'll understand that I have a tendency towards low-cost solutions for everything. So I don't have a lot of money to throw at any real problem. So I'm going to start throwing some interesting ideas to the wall, see if they stick, and I'm putting them all into a new show called The Cruftcast. So it's going to be, at this point, once weekly. It's over at cruftcast.com, but the website is only half done. So if you feel like it, you can check it out, but it will be done by this Saturday, I promise you that. You are currently listening to the Caffeination Podcast, lovingly located over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com, if you couldn't figure that one out. And we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. Everybody's listed over at techpodcasts.com. All right, we have a great lineup of shows for you, or stories for you today, rather. With CES in full swing, there is just so much content flying around that it's really kind of hard to pick the really cool and interesting stuff out of there. So we're going to be, you know, picking some of the more interesting, at least I think, content to rock out for you. And then I'm also going to go tell you where you can go to get some really, really cool content in mass. So that's pretty much how we're going to attempt to do it today. All right, before we get too much further into it, did want to make mention of the fact that this podcast is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a fantastic solution for a lot of things, but with inclement weather sweeping the nation, it's either raining or snowing or it's really, really cold outside, and who wants to run across town or get into an almost certainly delayed flight with just for a tiny short meeting? You can skip the flight, you can skip your drive, you can put down your scarf and put on your pajamas. You can use GoToMeeting to host an online meeting instead. It couldn't be simpler. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and sees your desktop on their screen. No delays, no canceled flights, and just productive meetings. Think about it. Just one click, no snow days, and you could be hosting your own training sessions or giving product demos from your warm office. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor for here at the Caffeination Podcast, and I would like to make mention of the fact that the Tech Podcast team has a ton of people out at CES right now. There's Todd Cochran, Andy McCaskey, and Jeffrey Powers. Each one, I think, is leading up their own team and wandering around CES, finding all of the awesome stuff that a lot of the major networks miss. I mean, yes, they're going to be going to the keynotes, as far as I can understand it, but they do a yeoman's job really finding all of the best in the off the beat beaten track kind of stuff, the kind of stuff that the podcast like mine actually thrives on. So it's really cool to see the stuff that they do. They record tons and tons of video. I mean, from what I can gather, Todd's actually gathering and carrying around a 15-pound camera. So you can head on over to techpodcast.com. You can see the daily summary where everybody picks out their favorite products of the day. You can see the back channel where it's all kinds of funny tomfoolery going on behind the scenes. And you can see the different little tiny things that happen as they go along throughout the day, and they get a chance to upload it. But it's really worthwhile to head on over to techpodcast.com to actually check out the content. Like, I didn't get a chance to actually view today's daily rap show because everything's just been so busy in work. So I'm trying to just make sure that everybody knows where they can go to get some fantastic information about it. Alright, we're moving right along. Up first in the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast is, how do you treat your voice when you podcast? It's all about process. I'm doing a series of articles called The Process, because I've had a lot of people ask me different questions about podcasting, from what kind of setup do I use down here in the Caffeination layer, to what kind of microphone do you need to start it out, to just simple things like, do you need a Mac or a PC to actually start podcasting? And some of the questions come from people online. Some of the questions come from people in different conferences where I give talks and things like that. So I'm trying to organize my thoughts and at the same point in time share the information out. So the first thing I did was wrote an article about the voice. Because no matter what, if you're doing a podcast, well, if you're doing a video podcast, you got to beat your mug before you get on the screen. So that means, you know, you might have to comb your hair and stuff like that. I'm not going to go so far as to do makeup, because we're not doing HD. This face isn't meant for HD. But there is some very important things that you should be paying attention to in regards to your voice. The first thing is, you have to start paying attention to where exactly you speak. Do you have a naturally deep voice? Do you have a naturally high voice? And the more you pay attention to how you speak and how different sounds actually come out of your body, you can realize that the resonance, the place where the sound is made in your throat, does not stay sedentary in the center of your throat. It moves up and down depending on how the sound is formed. So you can eventually learn how to control that just by starting to pay attention and just changing the way that different sounds make. Now, it's not talking about doing accents. I'm not talking about throwing your voice or anything like that. I'm just talking about starting to control the way in which your sound is created in your own body. And the other thing is, you have to treat your voice right. You can't just go downstairs and chug a lot of coffee and do a podcast. Unfortunately, coffee and many other acidic beverages like that have a tendency to constrict your vocal cords. And at least with me, when my vocal cords get tired, I start to yawn, and there's so many other things that do that, and there's a couple little tricks that I've tried throughout the years that actually help to ease out your vocal cords. The first is to have just a little bit of alcohol, and the second is to actually have fizzy drinks that are not... that won't actually coat your throat, like Mountain Dew Code Red, like Norbert likes, and there's so many other different things that you can have out there. But as long as you don't drink a lot of them, because as soon as you have something like that, then you end up belching, and nobody really wants to hear that on a podcast, especially a live show. There's so much other fun that happens for that. All right, the other thing I just wanted to make mention, because I had somebody for some reason ask me about milk. He said, well, yeah, I like to drink a nice glass of milk at night. Can I drink that and actually record a podcast? It's like, well, you technically could, but I'm going to tell you the one weird thing about milk and syrupy drinks and stuff that coats your throat. It starts to give all your voice and all the sound that comes out of your throat a really wet sound, and nobody likes that in their ears, especially if you're listening with like earbuds or something like that. It has a tendency to almost smack. according to Norbert Davis, if you try the Mountain Dew Code Red and Light Rum, it's called a redheaded stepchild. You know, I think I'm going to have to try that this weekend. Currently, today's solution is Sam Adams Winter Lager, and we're actually going to be moderating with coffee, so I have to stay up. Now, if Buzz Beer was actually a real product, I might end up trying that, but... All right, moving right along to the actual content here today. I know there's a lot of selling points out there for cars with backup cameras, and there's a very real reason for that. Americans love to drive big honking cars and trucks, and there's a really large blind spot under the rear window where kids can play, where if you don't know how to park your car, you can run into all kinds of fun things. And the bigger the cars get and the smaller the windows get, the more this can happen. So there's a lot of products that are out there. They're backup cameras. They're incredibly expensive for what they are. I mean, a lot of people say, and the tagline that they like to go through is, can you put a price tag on peace of mind so that you know your child's not back there? I mean, we don't have a backup camera on our car, but I know a lot of people who do and a lot of people who swear by them. And some people, I know one person specifically who actually said that the backup camera saved their neighbor's life because their neighbor was working on his car. He didn't see him and rolled out from under the car to grab a tool while the guy was backing up. Of course, if you have a driveway where it's that close in, you might want to take a little step back and actually pay attention to that. And I'm not sure this product specifically would help you out. But over at ogizmo.com, there's something called the parking pilot that stops you from embarrassingly backing onto disco floors. At least that's how they say it. The idea behind this product, and if you're watching over on the Ustream thing, then you're going to be able to actually see the stuff that they're talking about. The idea behind this product is that there's four specific sonar sensors that exist, and what it does is it actually takes an interesting little scan, basically, of the area behind you. I'm not sure how often it updates, but it's kind of like a fish finder. So it basically, it shows you the topography of the obstacles that are behind you. And I love this. This is a really good idea. And rather than being $300 or $400 for the different kind of backup cameras, this thing's only $60. So if you live in an area where you either can't back into your driveway to save your life, or you really would like that little extra added peace of mind, but you don't have the kind of money to throw at it, then $60 is not a bad idea to attempt to invest. So I just wanted to kind of pass that along because I really kind of like this. So, all right, next little thing that we got going for you here is actually a TV that you can hug. This is from CES. I had to pass it along. For some reason, TVs are the big thing at CES this year. I understand that we're supposed to be coming out with 3D TV, and we've talked about that on a couple other podcasts, where it's not just 3D TV that's the problem, it's the fact that, you know, you're going to be you're going to need the goggles at the same point in time to actually make it a feasible solution. Now, I'm not saying that this is either good or bad, but this is actually a cuddly TV. It's a TV that's shaped like a polar bear with an LCD screen in it, except for the fact that the polar bear is incredibly thin. Maybe it's a little global warming here affecting it, but you gotta love the fact that, I hope you can see this on Ustream, but the ad that they actually picked to showcase on the page, because of the spiders that actually go through all the different content to find what the most relevant ad would be, they actually picked a World Wildlife Federation ad to actually go in the top corner. So I think it's kind of fun. The only other time I've seen these where it's really, really awesome, the ads they pick, is when they green technology blog starts to slam oil companies, and then you have ads for clean coal and stuff like that on the side. It's just fantastic. All right, next little item, again from over at CES and again from over at Ogizmo. Usually I try and mix things up and spread them throughout the show, but it was kind of getting all the stuff together up and closing quick, is something called the Flip Power, a plugless USB charger. Now, I know a lot of geeks out there have gadgets everywhere. I mean, I know that I do. I mean, I'm pretty much sitting in a sea of gadgets at this point in time. And none of the gadgets have the same kind of charger, but most of them are starting to come out with USB chargers. So the idea behind the Flip Power plugless is that you actually vampire power off an existing plug. It's a flat surface that actually swivels out of a USB key looking object, and you plug another item in through it, and that the metal that contacts the prongs of the plug for the secondary item is actually going to make contact with this special flip power one. It's going to siphon off some of the power, so it's still going to use the same amount of power. There's some kind of transformer or inverter on the inside that's going to step it down to the 5 volts that it actually need, 5 volts of DC rather, that it's actually going to need to charge whatever is actually running on your USB. I think USBs are still 5 volts DC, even though we're moving on to USB 3.0 right now, but it's I just love it. And Norbert from over at the stream said it's a piggyback power adapter. And that's the best kind of description you could actually find for something like this, because it really is that. It seriously just siphons power off from another gadget. And it's really cool. I loved it, so I had to pass it along. All right, now, I work in a lot of 3D programs. Being in the architecture department, I'm not somebody who designs buildings. I'm the tech who keeps the programs and the printers running so that other people can design buildings or other people can learn how to design buildings. It does not mean, however, that I don't know how to use any of the programs, because I have to make sure that the programs work or else the students get cranky. And nobody really needs that. So when I saw this originally, I was like, okay, wow, somebody made a very bad model of a Lamborghini. Apparently not so much. Somebody not only made a bad model of a Lamborghini, but then made it in three-dimensional space by rolling steel bars. So somebody took a wireframe version of a Lamborghini Koenig Countach, and if you have 40,000 pounds, which is roughly, I'd say, it's either 60 or $75,000 dollars, somewhere around that. It's usually like 1.5. I can't pull it off the top of my head right now. But for some reason, he painted the whole thing safety orange. It's a full two-scale long. It's 14 feet long. So this thing is not small. You'd have to have it shipped somewhere. No word yet on how much it actually weighs. So that's the only thing I could really see holding against this. I don't understand why some art museum hasn't picked up something like this. I mean, the other problem with it is, since he painted it safety orange, it really doesn't look like a wireframe. It looks like a wireframe if it's sitting on something white, but it's most of the wireframes that I've seen in a lot of the different programs that are out there are actually either white or green. I haven't seen orange yet, but I know that you can actually help do those. You know, like, I know that you can actually change the different colors around to be whatever you want. And specifically in AutoCAD, depending on whatever layer you're working on, it is a different color. And if you're using a laser color cutter, it has to be a certain color to cut, certain color to etch. I'm learning all kinds of fun stuff. It's just a problem of actually turning it into real usable knowledge. By the way, if you're ever using a laser cutter, 9 times out of 10, the color to cut is red, pure red. It's the red pen if you had the old pen style plotters, and the color to etch is anything else. So there you go, knowing's half the battle. Alright, the next little item we have up for you here, I'm not an audiophile. I love good audio. I have no money, so I can't get good audio. I have to do with whatever I can. And this is kind of interesting, because I also like the aesthetic from some of the steampunk stuff that actually comes out there. It's kind of interesting to see vacuum tubes still in use, and I have a lot of friends who are musicians, and they swear by tube amplifiers. And even though I have I have one tube radio in the house, it's actually a very, very ancient AM only radio from my great grandfather, and it's what I use to listen to the Phillies games during the summer, so it has a beautiful, warm sound. When it can get a good reception, there's nothing that beats listening to the Phillies game on that radio. So I understand how a tube amplifier could be a very good thing to add into your hi-fi set. $229 compared to some of the other amplifiers that I've seen out there. I mean, guitar amplifiers, any other kind of amplifiers, this is somewhat on the low end of amplifiers as they go. And apparently the fine folks over at Tone Audio Magazine actually hooked this thing up to a pair of $3,500 speakers would be impressive too, but still. But they said that the quality of sound, the crispness, the warm tones actually blew them away. So anything that somebody like that is willing to throw their weight behind, I gladly pass it along. It's called the Mini Watt. So for $229, if you have a budget that can fit one of those, more power to you. All right, next little thing that we got for you here. It's official. Google has launched their own phone. I'm not talking about the Droid. I'm not talking about the Droid Eris, the G1, any of the other Android phones that are out there. Google actually has their own Google-branded cell phone. It's called the Nexus One. It's entirely a touchscreen device, so it's interesting. It's built with a partnership with HTC. It's kind of cool. I mean, I got to say, I'm looking at it, and I never actually did get the wife to agree to get a Droid. So this might be in my future. Who knows? For right now, it's only being partnered with T-Mobile. It runs the latest version of the Android operating system. So I think 2.1 maybe, or 2.01. I think there was actually a security patch in there somewhere. But But apparently it's kind of knocking people dead. It has a 5 megapixel camera in there. It has a 1 gigahertz processor in there. It has 480 by 800 pixels, which is a nice crisp bright display. And from all the initial reviews, not just the one I have up here from over at Device, but from all the initial reviews I've actually seen, is people love this thing, and they say the screen brilliance and the screen clarity and the camera clarity is significantly better than most of the other Android phones that they've seen. I'm not sure how it stacks up to the end-all and be-all that anybody talks about the iPhone, but I'm sure we'll see more than enough of that. And it actually does look a little bit like the BlackBerry Storm, so that's going to be kind of interesting to see exactly how well it performs in the standard benchmark tests. But the only benchmark test I'd like to see is actually sitting in my pocket. My current phone's a piece of junk, so I need a new phone at some point. Not sure if that's going to work out. All right, I told you TVs were big this year at CES. Everybody, there's no 3D technology that's going to be sold at CES. What they're doing is they're waiting until the end of the year. None of the tech's ready for prime time, as it were, until very, very much later. I mean, even Verizon is getting in on it. There's supposed to be TVs that they're coming out with that can dual projector, dual send wireless HD signals in stereoscopic vision. Verizon's even coming out with something where it's supposed to stream dual streams of stereoscopic images to the screen, and it's all doing this wirelessly. Well, there's a new kit that's coming out now that actually has a wireless connector to stream from your PC to an HDTV. It looks a little bit like the first generation of the satellite radio antennas. Looks a little bit like the shark fin. So I'm pretty sure if you could incorporate this somehow into some of the other gadgets that are out there, this would end up looking pretty spiffy. As long as it doesn't have to be centered, maybe you can even hide it behind the console. I could see this being really interesting. It does not stream 1080, but from all of the research that I've done, most people say that they can't tell the difference between 1080 and 720. I've only seen it on certain instances where it's actually... it's the brightness and the actual quality of a large scale image where you can almost start to see, but it could always be just a trick of the light or your imagination playing tricks on you. But this is Alerion is actually a no wire kit that streams it from your PC to the HDTV, so you don't have to have a computer in the same room to have it all up and running. It can do it from up to 30 feet away, so depending on how big your house is, you can have the server in the closet and have it running to this. You have a little wireless keyboard. It's kind of interesting, so I wanted to pass it along. All right, now we go from the serious to the not so serious. There's a long-standing tradition among our friends where we asked each other, you know, when did you let your geek show when you were courting your significant other? It's like, when did you say, okay, yes, this is how much of a dork I am. This is how much I like Star Trek. This is how much I'm into computers. It's kind of a tense subject in the initial stages of a relationship. So I'm not sure it would ever actually make it onto the large screen as it was. But if you ever got your wife to actually allow you to get married with these, then it would be kind of interesting. These are Star Trek cufflinks. I can't remember if I've showed them before, but I just think they're awesome, so I wanted to put them back up there. They're the original Enterprise and the original Star Trek logo, so there you go. The classy Delta Shield, as it was. And we're staying on the screen, and the next little set of cufflinks that I actually found are something that I'm actually incredibly interested in. I might end up having to buy these for my dad. You know, Father's Day is coming up just around the corner. He is an electrician. So cufflinks that actually light up and are tiny little light bulbs and they have little LEDs in them are just fantastic. I don't know how bright they are. So that I think that would have a lot to do with how much I would be willing to pay for them. So I think they're really neat. I think they're cool. I think they would definitely be the life of the party. But, so they're $28. So that's not too bad, especially when you're talking about cufflinks. So it might be kind of interesting. So maybe that'll end up being a Father's Day present. Let's see what else we got. All right. The last little item we got for you here at the Geekcraft section is the fun and always interesting Lego section. These are not Legos, though. They're a unique puzzle calendar made up of Lego-type building blocks. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure Lego is kind of rabid when they talk about actually... protecting their copyright. So I think it's close to being Legos. I don't know if they would actually be compatible, but I love the idea behind these. I like the aesthetic. It's just a simple set of Lego bricks that actually fit together and form a calendar. So you can organize them as you see fit. I'm pretty sure there's all kinds of fun little things so that you can mark birthdays. Like they have something on there that says holiday shopping, holiday. There's an airplane. There's a shopping bag. There's Saturday and Sunday bricks. There's red bricks, green bricks, yellow bricks. So you can kind of organize everything all together. I think this would be fantastic. They need to have something for doctor's office. That should probably be some kind of black or bright blinking red. I have a dentist appointment tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to it at all. But I just had to pass this along because I thought it was intensely awesome. And this one is apparently only $13, so you gotta love that. And it can come in all kinds of different configurations. So just wanted to pass that along because I thought it was pretty cool, and hopefully you did too. All right, moving right along into the food and caffeinated bits section here. We have Toddler Bowl Lockdown. Now, I don't know how many of you out there are parents, but one of the biggest issues that we had when we were trying to teach our kid how to eat was that you should not throw the food on the floor. You should try and keep the plates and all the accoutrements there and kind of intact. And the bowls were always a bit of a problem because they rolled around. So this is an interesting device. This is actually a cross between a C-clamp and a suction cup to actually lock a bowl to the side of the the table. I like this idea in theory, but we had something similar to actually. We had a seat for Paul when he was really young that actually kind of clamped onto a dinner table. You're supposed to be able to use it when he was really, really young. Had, like, you know, lovely little hippo stoppers up at the front. And then basically he just hung off the end. Well, we found out a lot of tables don't actually have a significant lip like you see here. A lot of them actually have the support brace actually a little bit closer towards the edge, so it's kind of harder to do what people think you should be able to do. So I just wanted to kind of pass it along because I thought it was relatively awesome. And next little thing we have up for you here, I love trivets. I don't know why, but I think they're some of the coolest things that are out there. I especially like novelty ones. I still use a set of trivets, or at least one of the trivets that I made in Cub Scouts. It's a tiny little piece of masonite with a ton of tiny little ceramic tiles on there. I know my parents still use like the three or four that we actually did at camp. So this gadget kind of is relatively interesting. There's only about it's about $25, so it's a significant size trivet, but it looks like chocolate bars, so I thought it was fun and wanted to pass it along. Now the next little thing is something I have. It's kind of a little bit of a special for you here. This is an interesting little swizzle stick set. Now, I'm usually not a big into swizzle sticks. I think they're kind of interesting, but utterly useless because, you know, you have to start cleaning them, and they're tiny, and they're plastic, and they break all the time. Now, here's the fun thing about these. They're drink-specific swizzle sticks, so they actually go in the top of your drink, and they look like whatever it is that you're actually trying to mix. So I thought that was pretty interesting and wanted to pass it along. The only fun thing was that the really fun thing about this drink set is I don't know how new the article was that they were actually talking about it, but we actually have these things. I got them from my uncle when we got married, so that's almost 5 years ago now. They're kind of cool. As you can see right now where they were talking about the drink straw that actually moved, it does. So if you're looking at the video stream, you can kind of see they are relatively interesting. They're relatively cool. The one that's the martini glass gets used the most often around here, and the one that looks like the whiskey bottle. So thought it was kind of fun that we actually had them, so I wanted to showcase them on the show for just a little bit. The other interesting thing that I have laying around the house, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen one of these, but it's a tiny little topper for the top of the bar, for the top of the bottle. Now, one of my friends who is actually going to bartending school swears by these instead of using shot glasses when you have a bunch of people over the house. And the reason is that 3 seconds on one of these is exactly one shot. And he proved it to me, you know, several times in a row over a course of an evening. And they're actually really, really, really useful. So so I just thought I'd kind of showcase this. And the best part about these is even the inexpensive ones do the same thing. You make sure there's just a little bit of an air hole on the one side and then the other hole that where the actual liquid comes out. And I kind of thought it was pretty interesting and cool. Next little thing that we got for you here, staying within the alcoholic realm. I don't know what kind of gadgets these people think I am today. One of the interesting things that I actually saw was somebody actually managed to put a cork and a USB drive together so that if you had to, you could actually hold 2 gigs of flash memory inside a used cork. The only thing is, it's $51 for a cork, and I'm pretty sure you could do the same thing yourself. You could actually just hollow out a cork that you had laying around from any old wine bottle and put one of the tinier elements of a USB drive in there and do it yourself. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought that was pretty interesting. Next up here, we have the next awesome thing that I've seen. It's called a Weinstein. It's the perfect marriage between a beer glass and a glass of wine. Now, the reason for the shape of a glass of wine is so that the heat from your hand doesn't actually heat up the wine. There's a bunch of other reasons, especially having to do with aeration of the wine and proper drinking. But by actually blowing the glass of the beer stein in such a fashion that it actually holds a negative space image of a wine glass on the inside, makes it kind of sense at some point. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was kind of interesting. Now the next one, this is probably the coolest gadget that I'm going to talk about today. This is a tea infuser that looks like the Yellow Submarine from the Beatles. So you put all your loose tea in there, you drop it into your tea glass, and you too can live in a yellow submarine. There's so many jokes that go along with that, and all of them are bad, so I'm going to let anybody else who feels like it make them. So I just think this is fantastic and wanted to pass it along. I don't even care how much it is. Unfortunately, there's no price tag yet on it, but I had to share with the group. And then the last little thing that we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast, is it hot air or is it just another cool koozer? This is a design piece from over at yankodesign.com. It's a flat piece of neoprene, and as the hot air from your coffee actually heats the air pockets inside the flat piece up, they supposedly expand out and allow you a better grip on the cup, and your hand stays a little bit cooler. Now, I was unaware that we had to redesign the koozer to actually get things done around here. I thought it was kind of a consistent thing, so I just wanted to showcase that because I thought it was rather interesting. And that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to come in a little bit low on time today, but I'm also low on ability to actually talk. Thank you ever so much for sticking around. Just remember, if you're listening to this audio version, you'd like to see some of the funky stuff, you don't feel like clicking around on all the links, head on over to live.caffeination.com, and you too can follow along with all the fun and the hilarity. other than that, it's been a fun episode. This is the first live show. Hopefully it's going to be a year full of awesome live shows, and we'll be able to bring them back for you again and again. Now, if I could actually get all the accoutrements working correctly, it would probably be a little bit easier to do, but hey, you know, everything's a work in progress around here. So thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.